الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we continue our readings الحمد لله في كتاب التوحيد الذي هو حق الله على العبيد we have been reading from the title the author or from the chapter the author has titled باب الخوف من الشرك باب الخوف من الشرك the chapter the author he has mentioned رحمه الله تعالى entitled the obligation of being afraid of falling into shirk the obligation of being afraid of polytheism and associating partners with Allah عز وجل باب الخوف من الشرك who can remind us of the relationship between this chapter and the previous chapters discussed in our previous class. The author, he began with the introduction mentioning the obligation of at-tawheed and the great right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be worshipped alone and that this is the greatest commandment and that all of the prophets and messengers they came with this command first and foremost commanding that Allah azza wa jalla should be worshipped alone clarifying that the greatest prohibition was the prohibition of shirk And then likewise, the author, he mentioned the virtue of at-tawheed and the one who lives and dies upon tawheed, he has the promise of paradise and he has the promise of the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Jannah and that his final abode will be the paradise in the Jannah, the one who has at-tawheed and he dies upon at-tawheed, the great virtue of at-tawheed and that it expiates all of the previous sins. And then the author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, the chapter, the reality of the one who fulfills the rights of Tawheed. He has Tawheed and then he fulfills. He has the asl of it, Tawheed, the foundation and the fundamental belief and creed. And then on top of that, he fulfills the rights of Tawheed. That he will enter paradise without any reckoning or any punishment. Then after this, the author, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, he mentioned this chapter here. The obligation of being afraid of shirk. The obligation of being afraid of associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. The relationship between this and the previous chapters. Now.
Previous chapters talked about the rewards for applying Tawheed. In this one, this chapter talks about the consequences of doing the opposite, which is shirk.
Ahsant. If somebody has something valuable and virtuous, any outside away from the book, something from the dunya, something that he cherishes and he likes, an object, a possession, that he has great benefit from it, and he has value in it, and this thing that he has, this object or this possession that he has, he benefits from it, and it's very valuable, and it's useful in his life, and he has found the great usefulness of this thing. He'll be cautious to do anything that would cause it to go away or to leave. He'll be afraid, and once he learned that this thing is very valuable and beneficial in his life, he'll be cautious not to let anything happen to it so that that value will be depreciated, or so that the usefulness of that thing would be weakened and then he would not be able to benefit from it anymore because he has weakened it. So somebody has something that's very beneficial in their life, they'll try to keep it safe and make sure that that benefit will remain there. So likewise we see the virtue of a tawheed and the virtue of the one who dies upon tawheed and that great promise from Allah Azza wa Jalla that he has paradise. Then likewise after that it's very suitable to understand the dangers of the things that will invalidate that tawheed. There are issues that will invalidate the tawheed and wipe it away altogether. No matter how much worship somebody had, if he committed shirk, major shirk, even if he was a devout worshiper, worshiping Allah Azza wa Jalla in the daytime and the nighttime, or if he's giving wealth and charity, or if he's making hajj left and right every year, or if he's standing in the night prayer, if he's fasting all day, whatever the case may be, but he associated partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla, all of that would be invalidated and it would be in vain, and it would be fruitless. And all of his tawheed would go away, and this person, he would be from those who abide in the hellfire forever. So This is something that's very suitable. Now, after learning the virtue of something, after learning the virtue of it, tawheed, and the obligation of it, tawheed, and the great right of Allah Azza wa Jal, that this tawheed is established, and then likewise the one who fulfills those rights of tawheed, all of them entirely, that he has that promise to enter, not only of entering paradise, but entering paradise without any reckoning, then it's very suitable after that to study and to learn and to understand those affairs that invalidate that tawheed. And like this, we have seen in our previous class, we can review, alhamdulillah, this is from the way of the ulama to review, and the students of knowledge, and mudhakara to hayatul ilm, reviewing is the life of knowledge. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the shar. He said radiallahu anhu, kana nas yasaluna nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anil khayr. وكنت أسأله عن الشر مخافة أن يدركني مخافة أن يدركني. That Hudhayfa رضي الله عنه used to say that the people would ask the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم about the good things. And this is also very beneficial to ask about the good and the avenues of khair and goodness. But he said, as for myself, I used to ask about the evil. I used to ask about the evil, afraid that I would fall into it. So the ulama, they mentioned that not only is it very beneficial and important, and it's an obligation to learn the haqq, and it's an obligation to learn the truth, and it's an obligation to learn it in detail likewise, to be strong and to understand the truth with clarity upon insight. Likewise, it's very important for a believer and for a Muslim to learn falsehood and to know about falsehood. عَرَفْتَ شَرَّ لَا لِشَّرِّ لَكِنْ لِتَوَقِّيهِ مَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفِ الشَّرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ يَخَافِيهِ. The poet would say that I learned about the evil, not for the sake of the evil, but to be safe from it. And the one who does not know the difference between evil and good, then he will fall into it. A person, every time he was more ignorant about an affair, then he's closer to falling into it. And we find that many of the Muslims, and even in these days, and the people from this ummah, they have fallen into shirk, not because they want to be mushrikun, but because of their ignorance of the reality of at-tawheed, and their ignorance of the reality of the shirk. So then it's very important for a believer to learn about shirk, and to learn about bid'ah, and to learn about sins. All of these things that will either invalidate tawheed from its asl, or cause a deficiency in the tawheed and weaken it. So it's very important to learn about shirk, just like it's very important to learn about tawheed. Because the ulama likewise, they would say and mention poetry, al-diddu yudhiru husnahu al-diddu wa bil-diddi tatamayyizu al-ashya, that the opposite of something will clarify the goodness of that thing. So if a person wants to realize the virtue of a tawheed and its greatness, then let him know shirk. Then let him realize and understand shirk. And by understanding and studying shirk, he will see the greatness of tawheed and the value of tawheed and the virtue of tawheed. Likewise, on the other hand, the one who studies the sunnah, and he knows the virtue of the sunnah, but if he learns about innovation and the evils of innovation and the reality of innovation and how it is claiming that the Prophet, the one who innovates, is actually claiming that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam either did not know something about the deen, and that innovator, he knows better, or that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam betrayed the risalah. So then if he knows this, and this is the reality of the one who claims that there's a good innovation, then he will see the dangers of innovation and the evils of innovation, and he will also likewise see the virtue of the sunnah and the virtue of the people of the sunnah. If a person, he learns about sins and the deeds that are displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, the actions of transgression against the servants and the rights of the servants, or against one's own soul, or taking the wealth of others and the likes like this, then he will see the evils of that, then he will also find the virtue and the greatness of obedience, the reality of obedience. So just as it is encouraged for a believer to understand the truth in detail and the ways of haqq that lead to the pleasure of Allah, subul as-salam, likewise it's very encouraged and incumbent upon a believer to learn about the ways of evil. وَكَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ السَّبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned, and like this we clarify the signs and the verses in order for the ways of the criminals to become clear. And so whenever the ways of the criminals become clear, those who disbelieve in Allah Azza wa Jal or disobey Him or associate partners with Him, then the correct path will be likewise even more clear. The correct and the straight path likewise will be even more clear. And we see because of this, Umar, he had mentioned that great statement, radiyallahu anhu, and he said, يُشَكُ وَنْ تُنْقَضُ عُرَى الْإِسْلَامِ عُرْوَةً عُرْوَى إِذَا نَشَأَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ مَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ, that the bonds of Islam will be untied, they'll be unfastened one by one, if there comes a time where people who are raised in Islam and they do not know about jahiliyyah, they do not know about jahiliyyah. Somebody who has been raised his whole life and all he knows about is ma'roof, then whenever he sees evil, he doesn't know its dangers. He does not know the reality of it. He will not make inkar like the one who himself he had tasted that evil. He had lived in that evil. He had been tried by that evil, and then Allah brought him away from it, and Allah saved him from that. The one who had lived innovation or been misguided at one time and lived in the darkness of misguidance away from the Sunnah of the Prophet, and then Allah Azza wa Jal guided him to the light of the Sunnah, then he will know the reality of this falsehood, and he will know the reality firsthand of innovation. And he, whenever he sees it, he will hate it and he will dislike it greatly, much more than the one who knows that innovation is evil but he does not know the details of that. Likewise, shirk and disbelief. Likewise, shirk and disbelief. For example, someone who knows the evil of Christmas and the evil of Easter and the evil of these pagan holidays and the filth that goes on in these celebrations, in the origin of them with the shirk, and likewise also what is coming along with that from those foul manners that they have on those days. A person who knows about this first and foremost, and he has experienced that, and then Allah saved him from that, then he, when he sees that, he will hate it. He would dislike it, and he would know that it's evil and it's wicked. Some people, maybe they're not aware of those evils. They know that shirk is evil and Christmas is evil, but the one who has tasted that evil and he knows it firsthand, whenever he sees it, he will make inkar of it shadid. So whenever a person is more aware of the evil and he has insight about that and he has knowledge about that, then he will be upon clarity. He will be upon clarity in his deen, and the straight path will become more clear, and he will be able to thank Allah Azza wa Jal for the bounty of guidance. The one who has been upon misguidance and then he has come to the light of Islam, he will know the virtue of that. Like for example, a person who maybe he's in the darkness and he can't see, and the lights come on for him, he will see the benefit of being able to see. He will see the benefit of having lights so that he can see in the way, and the likes like this. So this is the case. This is why the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, has mentioned this chapter here, and it's very, very suitable in this order like this, after mentioning the virtue of Tawheed and the obligation before that of Tawheed, and likewise the reality of the one who fulfills those rites, that he enters paradise without any reckoning. He dies and he has nothing but the pleasure of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Then this is something that is very valuable and very, very beneficial. Rather, it is the greatest honor. Then a believer should be very careful that nothing could happen to that Tawheed, that nothing would decrease the value of that Tawheed, nothing would weaken that Tawheed, nothing would taint or stain that Tawheed, and nothing would invalidate that Tawheed. So here the author, he mentioned Bab Al-Khawfi Min Ash-Shirk. Al-Khawfi Min Ash-Shirk. Then the author, he mentioned the first verse, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَيُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. In our previous class, we were discussing about this ayat, and the meaning of this verse is that verily Allah does not forgive that partners are associated with Him, but He forgives lesser than that to whom He wills. But He forgives lesser than that to whom He wills. This verse here is a clarification that the one who dies upon shirk, there is no forgiveness for him. In our previous class, I was mentioning this, and I was saying the one who dies upon Tawheed, the one who dies upon Tawheed, I said it two or three times. A brother, he heard the recording, and he mentioned that to me, and that's a mistake, a slip of my tongue. What's correct, what's clear from the verse, the one who dies upon Tawheed, this verse is about the one, who dies upon shirk, the one who dies upon shirk. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi, the one who dies upon shirk. So that was a mistake from me. Astaghfirullah, the slip of the tongue. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. This is with regards to the one who dies upon shirk, the one who dies upon shirk. The one who dies upon shirk without repenting from it, then this is his outcome. That Allah Azza wa Jal will not forgive him. Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, the most kind, the most loving, Subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Wadud, al-Ghafur, al-Rahim, al-Ghaffar, al-Rahman, Subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Ra'uf, Ra'ufun bi'ibadihi. The one who has died upon this sin, he does not forgive him. He does not pardon him. This person transgressed the limits. So this is an indication, just as the author has mentioned, to be very afraid of Tawheed. The reality of the one who dies upon major shirk without repenting, then he has no forgiveness. He has no pardon. He has no mercy. He has nothing but punishment. He has nothing but punishment. فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدُكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. Brother, Allah Azza wa Jal will say to those people who die in this manner, then taste. And he tastes the punishment. We will not increase you in anything except for punishment. Except for punishment. This is the case of those who die upon shirk. Those who die upon shirk. This verse is with regards to the one who dies upon shirk. As for those who die upon lesser than shirk, then he's under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah wills, he will punish him according to his sin, and he will purify him in the hellfire. He'll be purified in the hellfire. Now, because the paradise, no one enters that except for a soul that is pure. So if it has the asal of al-tawheed, but it is tainted with sins and transgression, lesser than major shirk, then that soul must be purified before it can enter the home of purity, the home of peace and the abode of purity. So either that person will be purified by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal and he will pardon him, or he will be purified in the fire according to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. But a believer, he should not ever give up hope in this life. There's another verse likewise with regards to forgiveness. Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. That, O my servants, do not despair. Though my servants who have transgressed on their own souls, and in meaning with sins, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Verily Allah, He forgives all sins. And verily Allah, He's the most forgiving and the most merciful. This verse here is with regards to the one who dies upon repentance. The one who dies upon repentance. Allah forgives all sins for those who repent. For those who repent. So those who repent before they die, this verse is with regards to them. Do not despair. Do not despair so long as you are alive. So long as you are breathing as a believer, do not despair. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He forgives all sins. Even if someone made shirk with Allah Azza wa Jalla, ya'adhan billah, Allah will forgive that sin and He will pardon that sin. As for the verse in Surah An-Nisa that we are studying in this chapter, the author, he has mentioned, this is with regards to the one who dies upon shirk, who dies upon associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla. And it's clear, the wajhul istidlal from the author, the aspect, how he's using it as a proof to be afraid from shirk. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَيُّشْرَكَ بِهِ. Meaning the one who dies upon shirk, he meets Allah Azza wa Jalla upon that, Allah does not forgive him. Then the author, he mentioned again, وَقَالَ الْخَلِيلُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ وَجُدُوبِنِي وَبَنِيَ نَعْبُدُ الْأَسْنَامُ. And take me, he mentioned the statement of Al-Khalil, Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he supplicated to Allah Azza wa Jal, O Allah, take me far away and my children away from worshipping at Asnam, idols. Take me far away. وَجُدُوبِنِي أَجَانِبْنِي وَبَعِدْنِي وَبَنِيَ. Take us far away. Distance us. And he put us in one corner and them in another corner, far away as possible, me and my family. This is the supplication of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abu al-Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, that he was afraid of shirk himself. So this is the way of the Anbiya before, that they were afraid of shirk for themselves and for their families. That they were afraid of it. Even he's making dua and calling on Allah Azza wa Jal with hope and fear, supplicating to him to take him far away and his family likewise, his children, from associating partners with Allah and worshipping Asnam. Asnam is the plural of Sanam. The word Sanam. Sanam is something that is an idol, but it's carved in the shape of something, like the shape of a person or the shape of an animal or the likes like this. This is called a sanam. This is a specific type of idol. There's another word called wethan. The ulama, they mentioned the plural is authan. Authan. Wethan is also something that is worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal, but it's not having a particular image. So for example, those who worship the graves, that's called a wethan. But those who worship a stone without any image, that's a wethan. Or someone who takes a tree as an object of worship, which was the case in the days of Jahiliyyah. They would worship trees. Some would worship stones. Some would worship graves and the likes like this. These things are called othen, wethen. There are other types of idols that are worshipped that are not upon an image or a picture. And others, they would carve images from stone or from wood and the likes of human beings or animals and the likes like this. And this is called a sanam. This is called a sanam. So every sanam is a wethen, and not every wethen is a sanam. But all of them is worshiping and associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla, or worshiping other than Allah Azza wa Jalla and associating partners with Him. With regards to that statement here of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a statement of Ibrahim al-Taymi, rahimahullah ta'ala, and he would say, وَمَنْ يَأْمَنُ الْبَلَاءَ بَعْدِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمَنْ يَأْمَنُ الْبَلَاءَ. If Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he is afraid of associating partners, if he's afraid of his children associating partners, then who can be safe after him? Who would be safe after him? Then this is also an indication, if that was the case, and Ibrahim, he was a uswatun hasana for those who believe in Allah in the last day. For those who believe in Allah in the last day. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, وَثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. And then we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to follow the way of Ibrahim, Hanifa, of pure monotheism. So following Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the author is indicating here, that means that a person should be afraid of shirk, that he should be afraid of his tawheed, and that he should cherish his tawheed, and he should try to keep it safe, and he should know about everything that would invalidate it, or that would depreciate the value of it, or cause it to be light in his scales. Because it tawheed, the one who meets Allah with it, and he has fulfilled those rights, then that tawheed is heavy in the scales, and is heavy with Allah Azza wa Jal. But those people who meet Allah Azza wa Jal with weaknesses in their tawheed, or deficiency in their tawheed, or their tawheed is tainted or stained with sins and actions of transgression and disobedience, then that statement might not be so heavy in their scales. Might not be so heavy in their scales. So then the author, he mentioned, وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ الشِّرْكُ الْأَصْغَرِ فَسُئِلَ أَنْهُ فَقَالَ الرِّيَاءِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned the author, he mentioned, and in the narration in the hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the thing that I fear most for you, and he's speaking to who? Speaking to his companions, speaking about his ummah, but directly to his companions. Who are his companions, radiallahu anhum? They are the most knowledgeable of the ummah. They are the most knowledgeable of the ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the most pious and the most righteous. They're the most knowledgeable of tawheed and the most knowledgeable of shirk. They're the most pious and the most righteous. They have the strongest iman. Naam? They have the strongest iman. They have the most righteous deeds. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told them, that which I fear most for you is a shirk al-asghar. A shirk al-asghar. فَسُئِلَ أَنْهُ فَقَالَهُ الرِّيَاءِ. It's showing off that I fear for you the minor shirk. That which I fear the most for you is minor shirk. Because in their heart they know that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah Azza wa Jal. But the minor shirk can come in, showing off, doing a deed for of the hereafter, or a deed of worship, an action of worship like reciting the Quran, or learning narrations or hadith, or praying, or the likes like this, giving charity, or commanding the good, or prohibiting the evil. All of these actions are actions of worship. They must be for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. But shaitan can entice an individual, and he could change his intention to do it for the praise of the people. Because the people have been created in that manner that they like to have the praise of the people. They like to have people praise them. They like to have rank and status in the hearts of the people. This is something that Allah has created naturally in the human being, that it likes this. So the souls like to have good with the people and to have the people think good about them and praise them. So if a person, he is not cautious and not careful, protecting his tawheed, then this shirk likewise could enter. Not major shirk, but this minor shirk that could come in, not invalidating the tawheed from the origin, but causing deficiency and negating the completion and the perfection of the tawheed. Naam, causing a weakness to come into the tawheed. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam feared. So the ulama, they mentioned likewise that this type of shirk is the type of shirk that particularly the righteous and pious, and those people who begin to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, they must be very cautious from this. Because that was the case of the Sahaba, and this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam feared most. So whenever the people, they begin worshiping Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they start learning about a tanasuk and worshiping at ibadah, and they start praying and becoming steadfast in the deen, and they start praying more, or they're seeking knowledge, or they're learning the Quran, and they're memorizing and the likes like this, and memorizing text in mutun, and at this time shaitan, he really comes and tries to deter this person to show off in the deen, to show off with his knowledge, or to show off with his worship, or to show off with his recitation, or whatever the case may be, to show off with his charity, or whatever the act of worship may be, then a believer, he must likewise strive to perfect his intention in that. يُحَقِّقُ الْإِخْلَاصِ at the time of performing that deed, to be safe from also showing off, to be safe from showing off. In the completion of this narration, we mentioned last week, likewise, that it will be said to those people after the people that have been recompensed with their deeds, that it will be said to them, go to those who, as for you, you go to who you used to show off for, and see if you find any reward with them. See if you will find any reward with them. These people who showed off in this life, this is what will be said to them. After the people are recompensed for their deeds, then what's left is to recompense these people who used to show off in the dunya. It will be said to them, go to those who you used to show off for, and see if you have a recompense or a reward with them. Any humiliation for those who show off and seek the reward of the dunya and the praise of the people for their acts of worship, for their acts of worship. Like this, it's been narrated in Sahih Bukhari that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man sama'a, sama'a Allahu bih, wa man ra'a, ra'a Allahu bih," that whoever shows off, then Allah will expose him. Whoever shows off in his deeds of worship, whether wanting to be heard or wanting to be seen, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will expose him. نسأل الله العافية والسلامة. The author, he mentioned here, وعن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من مات وهو يدعو لله ندا دخل النار. That whoever dies and he is calling on a peer or a rival, a nid, with Allah Azza wa Jalla, then he will enter the hellfire. Then he will enter the hellfire. This is narration is from Al-Bukhari, the author, he mentioned that man mata wa huwa yad'u lillahi niddan dakhala an-nar. An-nidd, the ulama, they mentioned al-shabih, to who fulanu niddu fulan, fulanu niddu fulanin, yani shabihun lahu aw shibhu wa mithluhu aw nadiduhu. An-nidd is a peer or a rival or someone that is similar, like this, someone is that is similar with him, taking him as a peer or a rival. وَلَا تَجْعُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Do not make rivals with Allah Azza wa Jalla, any associates, partners that are equal to Him in worship. In worship. So this is what anid is. So here it's clear, مَنْ يَدْعُوا مَنْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ يَدْعُوا. Whoever dies and he's calling on, supplicating to, invoking other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, or along with Allah Azza wa Jalla, another rival or partner, then he will enter the hellfire. Then he will enter the hellfire. دَخَلَ النَّارِ. The dukhul of the disbelievers. This is the one who enters the hellfire here, that he is calling on other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Then he will enter the fire the way that the disbelievers enter the fire. And he will enter the fire the way of those who never come out whenever they enter. يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنْهَا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُقِيمٌ. That they will want to leave, they will wish to leave, but they will not leave, and they will have an everlasting punishment. They will have an everlasting punishment. This is for calling on, supplicating, and worshipping other than Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." Ad-du'a, supplication and invocation, in reality, it is ibadah, it is worship. It is worship. So the one who calls on other than Allah Azza wa Jal, and he dies upon that, iyadhan billah, then this is his fate and his destination. And this is his promise that he has, that he will be in the hellfire and he will abide therein. So then a believer, he will be aware of that, and he would make sure that he does not call on anyone besides Allah Azza wa Jal. And even in reality, it's very, very dangerous, because the one who is showing off, for example, the one who is showing off, for example, in reality, is as if he's calling on that person and hoping in him. He's hoping in him. He's hoping that person sees him. His heart is attached to him. He's doing that deed and his heart is attached to him. Instead of hoping for the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal, his heart is hoping that person will see him, hoping that he will have a praise from that person, hoping that he will have some status in the heart of that person. He is calling on him in this manner. In this manner. So to show off is dangerous, but to call on other than Allah Azza wa Jal directly, to call on someone other than Allah for aid or for assistance or for help or for a child or for cure from a disease and the likes like this, This is all major shirk, even if one called on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or even if he called on the angels. Naam, this is major shirk with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Believers should be aware of this. Then the author, he mentioned the next verse closing the chapter, وَلِي مُسْلِمٍ عَنْ جَابِرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ قَالْ مَنْ لَقِيَ اللَّهَ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ لَقِيَهُ يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا دَخَلَ النَّارِ. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that whoever meets Allah and he does not associate partners with him whatsoever, then he will enter paradise. But whoever meets Allah, whoever meets him and he associates any partner with him whatsoever, then he will enter the hellfire. Then he will enter the hellfire. So this is a glad tidings for that believer, the one who meets Allah Azza wa Jal without worshipping anything besides him, without associating partners with Allah whatsoever, that he has the promise of paradise. That he has the promise of paradise. And likewise, it's the threat for those who associate partners with him, even if it's something small, whatever the case may be. Shay'an, here, وَمَنْ لَقِيَهُ يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا شَيْئًا نَكِرَ فِي سِيَاقِ الشَّرْطِ. So this means that it's general, shay'an, anything whatsoever, whether it's major or whether it's minor, whether it's big or whether it's small, associating partners with him, then he will enter the hellfire. Then he will enter the hellfire. But here we have the reality of the liqa. The liqa of Allah Azza wa Jal, مَنْ لَقِيَ اللَّهِ, is either going to be like this or it's going to be like that. It's going to be like he's going to meet Allah like this, he's going to meet Allah like that. He's going to meet him with tawheed or he's going to meet him without tawheed. What does a person want to do? He wants to meet Allah Azza wa Jalla with tawheed. So that means that he has to be cautious, he has to be careful, he has to protect his tawheed, he has to protect his iman, he has to protect his deen, he has to protect the deen and the iman and the tawheed of his family and those under his care. Likewise. Naam. So this is the case because everybody's going to meet Allah. Everybody's going to meet Allah Azza wa Jal. Everybody's going to meet Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَ. And whoever loves to the meeting of Allah, then Allah will love to meet him. وَمَنْ أَبْغَى لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ وَيُبْغِى اللَّهُ مَنْ كَرِهَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ كَرِهَ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَ. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, whoever disliked the meeting of Allah, then Allah disliked to meet him. حياذن بالله. حياذن بالله. So here we see that مَنْ لَقِيَ اللَّهِ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. The ulama, they mentioned from this narration that Jannah is very close to the believer. The believer, the person of Tawheed, there's nothing between him and Jannah except that he dies. Except that he dies. Likewise, the one who meets Allah Azza wa Jalla and he is associating partners with him, then he will into the hellfire. And the last narration, whoever dies and he calls on others than besides Allah, anid, along with Allah Azza wa Jalla, then he will enter the hellfire. The ulama, they mentioned that the hellfire is close. It's not far from the disbeliever. It's not far from the disbeliever. The only thing separating between that person who is a disbeliever and a mushrik, the only thing separating between his soul and that hellfire is that he died. That his soul leaves his body. It's been narrated from the hadith of Uthman radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna al-qabra awwalu manzilin min manazil akhirah." أَوَّلُ مَنْزِلٍ مِنْ مَنَازِلِ الْآخِرَةِ. That the grave, it is the first stage from the stages of the hereafter. The grave, القبر, أَوَّلُ مَنْزِلٍ مِنْ مَنَازِلِ الْآخِرَةِ. That the grave is the first stage from the stages of the hereafter. Also in one wording it says, وَآخِرُ مَنْزِلٍ مِنْ مَنَازِلِ الدُّنْيَا. The grave is the first stage from the stages of the hereafter, and it's the last stage of the dunya. The person, he has a soul in between his sides. That soul is going to go into another life after it dies. After it leaves the body, the body is buried. The soul, it continues. It continues. After that, there's a barzakh. إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Until the day that they are resurrected. In that barzakh, there's na'im and there's adhab. There's na'im and there's adhab, the first. And then until the day that they're resurrected. And then the souls and the bodies will be resurrected. And then there will be accountability. And then there will be either a masir, ila al-jannah, or ila al-nar. There will be, the people will either go to Jannah or they will go to the nar. And the people in Jannah, they don't die. Khururun bila maut. The death will be slaughtered. It will come in the form of a kibsh. It will be slaughtered. It will be killed. No more. The people, it will be said to the people, do you know what this is? And they'll say, yes, we know what that is. That's death. How do they know what it is? Because they tasted it. They already know what at the death will be slaughtered. No more death. And then the people in the hellfire, لا يموتوا فيها ولا يحيا. They don't live in there and they don't die. They don't live a life of pleasure and happiness, and they do not die so that they can have relief. Rather, they have punishment. So this is the case. The soul is close to its reality. The first stage from the stages of the hereafter is the grave. Is the grave. That's why whenever the ulama, حفظكم الله جميعا, speak about the pillar of al-iman, al-iman bil-yawm al-akhir, they say al-iman bi-kull ma yakunu ba'd al-maut. Everything that occurs after death. Yani the belief in the hereafter. What is the belief of a believer in the hereafter? It includes everything that occurs from the time of death, all the way the time of death into the grave, after the grave, until the resurrection, and to the dukhul of Jannah and Nar. And all of this is from the belief of the hereafter, and then the belief of the believer in the hereafter. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna al-qabra awwalu manzilin min manazil al-akhirah, fa in naja minhu fama ba'dahu aysar minhu." وَإِنْ لَمْ يَنْجُوا مِنْهُ فَمَا بَعْدُهُ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُ. نعم. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا رَأَيْتُ مَنْظَرًا قَطَّ إِلَّا وَالْقَبْرُ أَفْضَعُ مِنْهُ. Allahu Akbar. Because of this, Uthman, it's been narrated in the same narration that if he came to a grave, he would sit there and cry. That he would cry extremely until his beard would become wet out of fear. And this narration came at this time, and he was asked about this, and he mentioned this narration. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the grave, it is the first stage from the stages of the hereafter. Whoever is safe from the punishment in the grave, then after that which is after the grave is easier. There's trials in the grave, and the grave it becomes tight on the people, and no one is safe from the clutches of the grave. But there are those who will be safe. They will be given success to answer the questions. And after that, it will be made easy for them. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said that whoever is successful in the grave, then that which is after the grave is even more easy. Aysar minhu. But as for the one who did not succeed in the grave, he didn't pass the test. He didn't pass the test. What's the test? Man rabbuk. Ma dinuk. Man hadha an-nabi alladhi ja'ak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man nabiyuk, who is your Lord, the one who his Lord was Allah sincerely, he knew him and he worshipped him and he called on him alone subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be given success. The one who is following what the people said, the one who is taking his desires as a Lord along with Allah, the one who maybe he will not be given success, maybe it will not be so easy for him to answer right away, but the believer who knows Allah in this life, he will know him in the grave. He will know him and he will be given success and Allah will protect him. He will say, Rabbi Allah, Rabbi Allah. That's why we say it a lot in this, Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah. Laysa li ma'budun siwa, I don't worship nobody else. I have no other object of worship besides Allah. Allah is my Lord. I know him by his names and his attributes. This is what a believer will be upon. He knows Allah. He knows his Lord. He worshiped him. He called on him in the daytime and in the evening time. Bil ghudwi wal asal. He's calling on him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he will be made he will be given success in these trials, in this grave. But as for the one who does not pass that test, then that which is after the grave is even worse. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I never seen any sight except for the grave was more hideous. The grave was more hideous. It was more hideous and terrifying. The punishment that will come in the grave. So here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever meets Allah azza wa jalla, then he without associating partners with him whatsoever, he will enter paradise. Who can summarize what that means from the previous classes? There's detail there. We can take that from the previous lessons. Whoever meets Allah azza wa jalla, man laqiya Allah la yushriku bihi shay'an dakhala al-jannah. Whoever meets Allah without associating partners with Allah whatsoever, he enters paradise. How is that entrance? This is with regards to both of them though. Whoever meets Allah without shirk, major shirk. So we have the reality that, you know, the clarity that we have the one who meets Allah without major shirk. He'll enter paradise. But it's going to be in two categories. The people who meet Allah Azza wa Jalla without major shirk, there are two categories. Those who meet Allah without major shirk and they fulfill the rites of tawheed, they enter fi awwali wahla. Biduni adabin wala hisab. The ones who meet Allah and without shirk and they fulfill the rites of tawheed, they enter in the very beginning. They enter without any punishment. They enter with honor and respect and nobility. نعم سابقون بالخيرات السابقون الأولون نعم السابقون بالخيرات هم الأبرار والمقربون هم الأبرار والمقربون نعم these are the ones who fulfilled the rites of tawheed upon the, and they're also upon darajat they're also upon darajat too also نعم but these are the ones who meets Allah without associating partners whatsoever with him but they fulfilled the rites of tawheed they fulfilled the rites of tawheed أحسن and they're also two categories. Those who fulfill the rites of tawheed that is obligatory and those who fulfill the rites of tawheed that are obligatory and mustahab. And mustahab. The one who fulfilled the rites of tawheed, man, he fulfilled all of the commandments and he stayed away from all the prohibitions. He has that promise. Fulfilling the commandments, staying away from the prohibitions. Higher than that, fulfilling the commandments, staying the prohibitions and doing the mustahabat and staying away from the makruhat and the shubuhat. And other things, some of even mubahat, a higher level of those who fulfill the rites of tawheed. The other one who, the other category of the people who meet Allah Azza wa Jal without associating partners with Him whatsoever, they are those who met Him, but they're dhalim, from the category dhalimun li nafsi. They met Him, they meet Allah Azza wa Jal without shirk, but they have sins. They meet Allah Azza wa Jal without shirk, major shirk, but they have minor shirk. They meet Allah Azza wa Jal without shirk. Major shirk, but they have bid'ah. They meet Allah Azza wa Jalla without major shirk, but they have taken the wealth of someone unrightfully, or his property unrightfully, or he has spilled his blood or harmed him physically unrightfully, or he has spoken about him unrightfully in his honor, and the likes like this, so he has sins. This one he has, he also met Allah Azza wa Jalla without associating partners, but he does not have the promise to enter directly, rather he is the one that is under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whether if Allah wills, He will forgive him, and if He wills, He will punish him according to his sins until his soul is clean and pure. Then he will enter paradise with those who enter paradise. And once an individual enters paradise, he will never be asked to leave. He will never be asked to leave. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal from His grace and His mercy. The author said, "Fihi masail." We read quickly to close the chapter. Al-ula al-khawf min ash-shirk. Anything, the issues that are related for this chapter. The first issue is that it's an obligation to be afraid of shirk. Naam, because it's the greatest sin that Allah has ever been disobeyed with, will be disobeyed with. Naam, and the one who dies upon it, there's no forgiveness for him. So then that means we have to be afraid. Ibrahim alayhi salam was afraid of it. SubhanAllah, we have to be afraid. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was afraid for his companions. Then what about me? What about you? What about us, those lesser than the companions in these last days? Whenever shirk is surrounded in the society even, everywhere we go, we find shirk in toys. We find shirk, lucky charms. What's that? Lucky charms. What's lucky charms? Lucky charms is a cereal. That's shirk. Lucky charms, they're making shirk, they have charms, they believe in these charms and these ornaments and these things. This is shirk. Buy cereal and eat shirk. Somebody told me that they have a new chips, bag of chips. It's called voodoo. Voodoo, a'udhu billah. The chips, they're called voodoo. Food, you buy the food and you eat it. It's called voodoo. Voodoo, that's magic. Magic doesn't come about except with shirk. Except with shirk. A'udhu billah. There's a toy, there's figures, right? This figure was of a superhero. And that superhero has the ability to control the wind and the rain. Storm. There's another super... some children, A'udhu billah, may Allah protect our children, they love this character, Harry Potter. And he's made to be like he's a good guy, and he's saving the people. And he's a magician. And his mashayikh, he's got teachers, they're magicians. La yufiduhu as-sahiru haythu ata. Allah Azza wa Jalla, the sahir will never be successful, no matter what he does. La yufiduhu as-sahiru haythu ata. No matter what he does, he will never be successful. Even the ulama have the mentioned that the one who commits magic and he has been convicted of that in the court, of the Muslim court, there's no repentance for him. Between him and the people, between him and Allah, Allah, that's between him and Allah, but his ruling is that he's killed. Even if he said, I repent, because of the evil of his sin, because of the evil of his sin. So, yani the reality is that we have to be afraid of shirk. Like Ibrahim was afraid of shirk, especially in these times, especially in these days, that it's all around us. It's all around us. A person has to be aware of that. He has to be cautious from that. He has to be, let me look at this. Some of those video games, they're shirk games. Some of them, I will say a lot of them. A lot of the video games have shirk in them. They're giving attributes of Allah to figures or to characters. And he's giving the attributes of Allah that are specific to him, to these characters. But what are the problem that we have today? SubhanAllah, may Allah help the believers. Kathratul misas, tudhibu al-ihsas. How do you translate that? Kathratul misas, the more that somebody is around something and involved in something, then his feelings for that go away.
Desensitized.
I know there's a word actually in English, Annie, for the same meaning. To become desensitized. Whenever somebody he is seeing over and over and over and over something, it becomes familiar with it, he's used to it. He doesn't make inkar of it no more if he's not careful. You know, he's being surrounded, he says, oh, that's just a video game. No, that's not just a video game. That's shirk. There's shirk in that. There's shirk in that. Then for example, some of those people who those children, if you tell them you gotta leave Harry Potter, he might flip out. What, Harry Potter? He's just a this and this and that. They love it. They love it. If you tell him this video game right here is haram, you can't do it. After his heart has become attached to it, it's difficult for him. That's why from the very beginning, we have to raise our children to know tawheed and to know shirk. From the very, very beginning, whenever the child is very little, and he's in Walmart, and he picks that toy, you tell him, no, 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 that toy right there, Allah doesn't love that toy. This toy right here is shirk, but this toy is good. That's why the ulama, likewise, they mentioned, especially in these days, that we make natawassa ala al-awlad fil mubahat, because there's so much haram. Literally, there's a lot, and especially in our society, then they're going to say everything's haram. I mean, not any. So Allah musta'an. So whatever is permissible, we give them more. You can't have this one here. Take two of this one, like this, to compensate that. But my point is, barakallahu fikum. From the very beginning, the child knows this game right here is haram. You can't have that one. But instead of that one, alhamdulillah, I want you to have good. Take two balls. Take this ball and that ball. Or here's a ball and get some shoes too. Like this. Yani giving them more of that, which is permissible to compensate for that. So that you show them that you want to get them something. Everything is haram, haram, haram like this. You can't have nothing in the dunya. But this is haram. But you tell them why. You tell them why. From the very beginning, you don't make any compromise with that. You don't make any compromise with that. لا نمكن أولادنا من شيء من الكفر أو المعصية ولو كان صغيرا. Now we do not allow them to do anything that's haram or anything that's disbelief, specifically even if he's small. Even if he's small. For example, the ulama, they mentioned that the child, even if he's a little boy, he should never be allowed to drag his pants. Even though there's no sin for him, he should be raised upon that, and he knows from the very beginning. You don't allow him to do that. Yeah, from the very beginning, you raise it to the level that's permissible. That this is the case. You don't allow them to do the haram, even though they're not held accountable. We raise them upon tawheed. We raise them upon sunnah. We teach them also, if there's a ruling, we can clarify for them the wisdom behind that. We don't just tell them haram, don't do it. Tell them it's haram, Allah doesn't like it, Allah is displeased with that. And then if there's a wisdom behind that, you can show them so they understand. This is good likewise. Raising them upon knowledge, raising them upon the love of tawheed and the dislike of shirk upon clarification. He says, الثانيه ان الرياء من الشرك. Showing off is from الشرك الأصغر. الثالثه انه من الشرك الأصغر. It's from the shirk الأصغر. The ulama, they mentioned يسير الرياء. And the light riyah. Riyah could be, actually, showing off could be major shirk. The one who showed off from the very beginning. He began his deed only for to be seen. Or the one who, and he began for the sake of Allah. And then in the end, he overcome him. He did the whole, after that, he finished the whole deed only for showing off. This one has another ruling. The minor shirk from showing off is whenever it comes and a person, he gets rid of it. He comes and then he gets rid of it. This is minor shirk. The one who goes off into it and he completes his whole deed, finishing his salat, sujood, salam, everything, hoping to be seen. This one, he is associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. The whole time, this one is not going to come from a believer. The minor shirk, that the showing off that is minor shirk, the one that comes and a Muslim, he fights it and he tries to do away with it. Those hypocrites, they had the riya, it was not minor shirk. يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. That they would show off, that they need, they're showing off, but in reality, they don't believe. They don't want the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. الرَّابِعَ أَنَّهُ أَخْوَفُ مَا يُخَافُ مِنْهُ عَلَى الصَّالِحِينَ. That which is most frightful for the righteous to be afflicted with is the showing off. الخامسة قرب الجنة والنار. The fifth benefit or the مسألة, the issue, is that the Jannah and the Nar is very close. السادسة الجمع بين قربهما في حديث واحد على أمر متقارب في السورة. That has been gathered in the nearness of the two, the Jannah and the fire, is been gathered in one hadith. السابعة أن من لقيه يشرك به شيئا دخل النار ولو كان من أعبد الناس. The seventh mas'ala is that whoever meets Allah and he associated partners with him, then he will enter the hellfire even if he worshipped Allah Azza wa Jalla the most. And he can, even if he was a person who worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla daytime and nighttime, even if he's saying La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, but he associate partners with Allah, it will not benefit him. الثامنة مسألة العظيمة سؤال الخليل. سؤال الخليل له ولبنيه وقاية عبادة الأسنام. عبادة الأسنام. He said the eighth mas'ala is the great mas'ala, the great issue, and that is that Khalil alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked Ibrahim for him and his children to be safe from worshipping idols. And he's not only shirk, but from worshipping idols. Worshipping idols, this means to prostrate before a stone, to prostrate before an idol, or to pray to an idol, to call on an idol. This is the type of shirk he's asking to be afraid, to be safe from. So what about the other types of shirk likewise? Allahu Akbar. التاسية اعتباره بحال الأكثر لقوله سبحانه وتعالى ربي إنهن أضلل كثيرا من الناس. And the ninth issue is that Ibrahim, he considered the situation of the majority of the people. And that is from the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He said, verily, O Allah, O my Lord, they have misled many of the people. And many of the people have been overcome by shirk. Many, not just some people, not a few people, but rather a lot of people have been affected by shirk. Naam, he says, Al-Ashira, فيه تفسير لا إله إلا الله كما ذكر البخاري. Al-Hadi Ashira, فضيلة من سلم من الشرك. So the tenth one is the explanation of La ilaha illallah in those two hadith. Whoever associate partners with him, he enters the hellfire. Whoever does not associate partners with him, he enters the paradise. And this is La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Naam, and then the 11th benefit is the virtue of the one who is safe from shirk. No doubt, the one who is safe from shirk, he has a great, great virtue. He has a great, great virtue. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.